dispute.
Learning the morning, about calling another message, that we shouldn't make a mistake in learning. So we make reference to the different categories of the Torah. We speak about the Issa Beheter and the Dina Mamonis. So we usually think that these two areas are very, very different. Shabbos and Kashrus, and you have Kamuk, and Tziyab, and Basra. Every once in a while, the Bubba to a Sugya where the two merge together, where the lines are almost blurred between where does Issa Beheter begin and where does Dina Mamonis end. So one of the examples of such a sugya is the sugya that we're in right now. We started off talking about a real intricacy of Dina Mamonis in terms of people paying back chovos. At what point do we say that a person is believed to say they pay back a chov, people pay back their debts within the Zman, after the Zman, before the Zman? And then the Gemara quickly shifted over to other areas as well, and Tosus introduced other parts of the sugya. And we landed right smack in the middle of the sugya by Pidgin Aben. So we started talking about dollars and cents, moving, borrowing money from Shimon, giving it to not pay back. And now we're discussing the mitzvah of Pidgin Aben, which is fundamentally some degree of mitzvah there. It's one of the Tanya mitzvahs. Can we assume that the father paid back the Pidgin Aben and didn't pay back the Pidgin Aben? So that's what the Mishnah, the Gemara Mecheres, talks about. If you have a tragic situation where the father died within 30 days when the baby was born, and now we're scratching our heads and trying to figure out, did a Pidgin Aben ever occur? Can we assume that the father did Pidgin Aben? The Gemara says, no, you can't make that assumption, because why in the world would he have been pulled to the son if the Chiyuv didn't come yet? It's not yet 30 days. They say that he would have been pulled to the son. So Tosfos raised the question that when it comes to Pidgin Aben, it seems to be obvious. Everybody seems to buy into this idea that the Pidgin Aben did not occur within 30 days. When it came to Chobos, the regular Dina Mamonis, it wasn't so obvious. It was a big machlokes. Shlokesh, all Tobos, Sugyan, Bavash, Davei. Do people sometimes pay back the Chobos before the Zman or not? So what's the difference between Pidgin Aben and other Chobos? So we had a couple of different ideas swirling around in the end of the show next week. Basically, we've broken down into two different categories. That one is more of a Metzias, and one is more of a Halacha. The Metzias being practically that people just are not going to pay Pidgin Aben money before the Zman. They don't even know Pidgin Aben's ever going to come. But when it comes to borrowing $100 from you, I know I have to pay the money. Nothing's going to happen to prevent me from having to pay back that chov. Whereas Pidgin Aben, Chalil b'chalil, the baby may die. So since the baby may not survive to the 30 days, so it's very possible that people will not pay back the Pidgin Aben money in advance. So that was more of a practice, more of a Metzias kind of a svar. Then we sort of tells us to around another possibility that I'll be halacha, that we would never pay back the bed before this man comes, because there's no chiyuv whatsoever. Unlike a chov, where the chiyuv may begin from the time that you borrow the money, it's not payable until later. But when it comes to when it comes to being your bed, there's no chiyuv in pure halacha. There's no chiyuv at all that exists. So there's no chiyuv. Like, why in the world would a person pay back the chov? So we have two different approaches in Tosfos last week. Is it just a practical issue that less the chiyuv never come around? Or is it a halachic issue that the chiyuv just lemaisa api aloch is not here yet? So that really opened up a whole question about Pidgin Aben. Is that true? Is that presentation, is that formulation of Pidgin Aben accurate? That there's no chiyuv whatsoever when the baby's born. Zero, nothing starts until the 31st day. Or is that not really right? That really, in a certain sense, the chiyuv begins right away. But the Torah says, don't do it yet. Hold off a little bit. But the chiyuv, the fundamental obligation really exists. So my nafkamina, we started to speak a little bit on Friday about a possible nafkamina. And now we bump into something which becomes a real shadow, really a halacha l'maaseh application. That begins on the 7th of the Ma'amar Kabbalah. So comes the Ma'amar Kabbalah, the following shadow. Itma. Hapodes b'no b'sog shloshim yom. If a person performs a pidyon haben within 30 days, nobody told him to do it, nobody asked him to do it, he's going on vacation next week, he doesn't want to be involved in the pidyon haben next week, he'll do it now. So Rav Amar b'no podoy. So Rav says the pidyon haben is valid. Shmuel Amar ein b'no podoy. Shmuel says, no, the pidyon haben is not valid. So the Gemara now qualifies this machlokes. Dekulei alma me'achshav ein b'no podoy. Everybody agrees that if the father gave the money to the kohen on day 10 and said, "Hidini mucher zuma m'shein pidyon haben, I want the pidyon haben to take effect, take hold right now." It's absurd. How can the pidyon haben nichal now? The zman hasn't come yet. So that was never up for discussion. If a person gave money to the kohen on day 10 and said to him, "I'm giving you the money, hold on to the money until day 31. And on day 31, the pidyon haben should take effect by itself. I'm going on vacation. I don't want to be bothered until 2 weeks from now. So I'm giving you the money, put it into your pocket, hold on to it. Day 31 comes. Then think, I'm accepting the money. That's when the pidyon haben should be chal. To stay the most, and the money's there. Why not? Of course, the pidyon haben is going to be chal. It's no worse than if he gave it to him on day 31. You don't need a formal mesinas hamos if the money ended up in the kohen's rishus, came about through the father giving it to him. Might enough to mean whether their physical formal giving took place before the zman. That doesn't matter. If the money's still around on day 31, that's fine. So what was the machlekes Rav and Shmuel? Yeah, there is a bracha. You want to know how the bracha is going to happen? That's going to be a problem. That's going to be one of the technicalities we're going to get to. Keep reading. What was the machlekes Rav and Shmuel now? The achash shloshim yom b'nisach lamos. So the father gave the money to the kohen on day 10 and said, "I'm leaving, going on vacation. I want the pidyon haben to be chal in 2.5 weeks from now. But when day 31 comes, the money's not here anymore. The kohen already used the money. So now the cash isn't in the kohen's hands. So now it becomes complicated." So Rav Amar b'no podoy. Rav says the pidyon haben is still chal. Even though there's no money, there's no cash on day 31, the pidyon haben is still good. And Rav gives us a model for this idea. Mina d'avia kedusha isha. This is no different than being a kaddish and isha. The Gemara says at the beginning of the third bracha was on his kedushin that if Reuven wants to marry Rachel, but he's not quite ready to marry her now. I always give the example to the bacham and the yeshiva. Always appreciate this one. You know, a couple of them are dating for a while. They want to get married. The parents say not till finals in June. On the other hand, you know, June weddings are a little bit expensive, so they'll throw a wedding now. But the kedushin should only be liachas shloshim yom, liachas 6 months. If and when you pass your finals, you get A's in your finals, then the condition should take place. So the Gemara says you can do that. I'm not sure it's the best idea. Technically speaking, you can do such a thing. And even though the money's not around, even if the ring is not even there by June, so the ring in January, it says, "Dash is the achar 6 months from now," and the ring is gone by then. That's okay. The condition is still chal. So comes Rav and says, "What's the difference of this achlamos? You know, the money's all over here. Hakidushin, hakadav nushno." So Rav said, "Everybody accepts such an idea by kedushin. So why can't that apply to pidyon haben?" Ushmul Mamar Shmul says, "No, it's not the same as kedushin. Hasam, the other lakanchi reaction. In the case of kedushin, you could marry her now. It's possible. Haka ain't gonna lift no some reaction. Because now it's not this man. This is not this man of pidyon haben yet. So how in the world can the pidyon haben be chal if the money's not gonna be around when the right time comes?" So the Gemara never explains what Rav's response was. Back to Shmuel. So what exactly is it? What are you arguing about? How come Rav says that you can pull up for pidyon haben now? It's okay. It's all right. You don't need the money to be around later. And Shmuel says, no. The money has to be around later in order for the pidyon haben to be chal. What exactly are they arguing about? So in the Sefer Ma'arit al-Ghazi, quoted the Sefer, in the early context of the Sugya on Friday, when Gedolei Acharonim wrote the Sefer of Masechet Chorus, so comes Ma'arit al-Ghazi, and he explains, but the Nekudas Machlokes, the point of contention between Rav and Shmuel, seems to be a throwback to our original question. Namely, how do you understand the relationship of 30 days in terms of creating a chiyah for pidyon haben? So one can understand that in one of two ways. Either one can understand that before 30 days over, it's not a mitzvah. It's like eating matzah before Pesach. It's like blowing shofar shishana. It's like doing a bris before the 8th day. It's not here. It's not a mitzvah. This man has not come yet. Bichlal. And that makes a lot of sense. That's what Shmuel is saying. How in the world are you going to formulate a pidyon aben that it should take place later, but the money's not around later? So if the money's not around later, so always pidyon aben. So when is the pidyon aben going to take place? Now is too early, and later there's no money. So how can you have such a pidyon aben? If the money's still around later, even though you physically gave the money now, that's okay, says Shmuel. We'll just make believe that you're giving the money later because it's there anyway. But if the money's gone by day 31, and now it's like a week before Pesach, so you can't eat matzah before Pesach, you can't do pidyon aben before the day has arrived. So therefore, Shmuel says you're out of luck. The pidyon aben will not be effective. What was Rav's response? So Rav clearly understood the din of 30 days. We mentioned on Friday, somebody shared him say, Rashi, Rambam seems to say, what are you waiting for? What's magic happens the day of day 31? But the reality is, the Torah says, that for the first 30 days, you're not sure the baby's really going to make it. It's a Suffolk Mayfeld. Not sure it's really a viable child. So therefore, the Torah says, hold off. Don't go run to do the pidyon aben yet. Wait until 30 days so the baby is a full-fledged, a full term. We know for a fact that the baby is going to survive. Once you reach day 31, igloy milsalim afreya. It turns out, now, Baruch Hashem, you know the baby is going to survive. So it turns out you're really chayav from day one. You're really chayav all along. Day 31 is not like the first night of Pesach. Before that was nothing. It's not like Rosh Hashanah. Before that was nothing. Day 31 is just almost like a biological way of determining the baby is healthy. And once you've reached that determination, then retroactively, the chiv kicked in from day one. Therefore, according to Rashi and the Rambam, it is conceivable to have a pidyon aben before day 31. It's not so crazy to have a pidyon aben before the quote-unquote chiv comes. It's possible. It's feasible to talk about that. Therefore, Rav's opinion is, if you gave pidyon aben money before 31 days, and now comes the 31st day, and the money's not there. So what? What's the difference? The pidyon aben's chal. L'mafreya, the pidyon aben is going to be chal. The problem is, with this understanding, is that it seems to be a little bit of guilty of overkill. Because, let's go back to the 7th of the Ramakamas for a second. On the first line, the end of the first line. The kuli alma me'ach shevei b'no pogod. Everybody agrees that if I say I'm giving you the money now, I want the pidyon aben to be chal now, it doesn't work. What doesn't work? According to this lomdus and Rav, that really fundamentally the mitzvah has begun already, it's just that medically, the doctors say don't do it yet. It doesn't make any sense to do it yet because maybe the baby's not going to be a viable child. So hold off. But when it reaches day 31, retroactively, it's considered to be chayav from day one. So what's wrong with the reaction? We're on a vacation. I'll give the pekayin and the money now, and I say, let's make a big party now, and make the brachas, do everything now. And in 2 weeks from now, we'll realize that retroactively, we did a good pidyon aben. What's wrong with that? If Rav is right, if our understanding of Rav is right, that the zman of pidyon aben really truly begins when the baby's born, what's wrong with that?
So the baby doesn't make it.
Yes, baby doesn't make it. Right. No, the Mishnah says that, right.
So that's
saying
that this
could
occur, just doesn't occur.
No, but Rav says that, the Gemara says, that if you gave the money to the Kohen and said, I want the pidyon aben to be chal today on day 10, even though day 31 comes, the baby's great, the money's there, everything's wonderful, ain't b'no potli, the pidyon aben is not chal. Why not?
What? At day 31, then it does become.
No, but ain't b'no potli means that what you did was worthless. Yeah, it's no good. Aim it up on them. Three words, aim it up on them. So why is that? So Rashi on the spot in that Gemara Chayrus says, so we don't have another Gemara Chayrus. Rashi and Chayrus says the following. You know why aim it up on them? Rashi says, because you gave it b'toras matana. You didn't give it b'toras pidyon. When a person gives pidyon aben money and doesn't connect it to day 31 and just kind of gives it to the Kohen, everybody knows that it's not yet the time to do pidyon aben. Maybe in the Elmas Al Yonis of the Lomdus of Erid Al Ghazis, it's time for pidyon aben, but nobody does it that way. Anyone who gives money before day 31 and doesn't stipulate that the pidyon aben should be chal later, so he's obviously not giving it b'toras pidyon aben, he's giving it b'toras matana to the Kohen. I come to a Kohen on day 31 and I write him a happy birthday check and I say, give him 5 shekels, happy birthday present. What's up to a pidyon aben? So I gave him a nice present. Now I still owe him 5 shekels for pidyon aben. So says Rashi, the reason why ain't b'no potli is a technicality. Not because the chiyuv, quote unquote, hasn't kicked in yet. because it's understood that money that's given before day 31, unless it's absolutely crystal clear that it's for Liachar's man, that's given b'teres batara, that's not given b'teres putya. So when all the dust settles, we still have two very, very legitimate opinions here about how to understand the longness of Pidyon HaBen. Does Pidyon HaBen really begin in day one, or does Pidyon HaBen really begin in day 31? And again, its implications for our sugya are significant, because whatever you think about borrowing money from people, whether people pay back chobos before the zman or not, I don't know. But when it comes to Pidyon HaBen, kuliyam lo pligi, nobody gives the Pidyon HaBen money within 30 days. Zero. That's not normal to do such a thing. And if we have a suffix, whether it was given in the 30 days, we assume about those that was not given. Why are we so certain people don't give it? So as Tosa said, one of two reasons. Either because practically, who's going to lay out money? He doesn't even know the child's going to survive. And number two, according to some opinions, it's inconceivable to give the money early because there's no chiyah about
it. According to that sheet that you don't get back the money before you actually owe it, if Reuven owes Shimon $100, it gives him $100 30 days before. Why don't we assume it's b'toras
b'tana? If he says that he's giving you b'toras p'tana, you're right. If he says I'm giving you happy birthday, Bezi, you're right. But comes to Pidyon HaBen, the non-saying is understood that it's not being done b'toras.
Not saying anything in this case.
I think so. But just to go back to Pidyon HaBen for a moment, to the potential of Nafkaminas the halacha, one thing the Gemara says absolutely clear according to everybody, no matter what you do, no matter how you slice the lumbus of Pidyon HaBen, if Reuven comes to the Kohen at day 10 and says, listen, I'm going out of town now, I don't want to be bothered with this mitzvah in 2.5 weeks, he has far shendo, put it in your pocket, please don't spend it, hold on to it, and when day 31 comes, I'll call you up and wish me mazel tov. So that's good. Gemara's mefarish, that's good. Beil Rav Ben Shmuel, there's nothing wrong with doing a Pidyon HaBen like that. Why would a Meshuggah do such a Pidyon HaBen? Meshuggah is going away, I'm going to be bothered later. So came to Maharshal and said, Chiddush Gadol, that maybe not just the Meshuggah do Pidyon HaBen like this, maybe this is not a bad way to do a Pidyon HaBen once in a while. Why would anybody dream of doing such a strange Pidyon HaBen? So some of you may remember, we spoke a little bit about this on a Wednesday night shiur or earlier in the year, when we spoke about some of the Sugis of the Seventh Kedushim. Maharshal is the following Chiddush Gadol. It's a big problem when the 31st day of the baby's life falls out on Shabbos. The big problem is, we're not sure how can we, if we can, do Pidyon HaBen. The Gemara never talks about it. Strangely enough, the Gemara does not discuss either yes or no doing Pidyon HaBen on Shabbos. Some of you may be wondering, Pidyon HaBen on Shabbos, what the money is, the money muktzah? So the answer is, what do you have to give money for? You don't have to give money, you can give Shabbat Kesem also. So you can come, the father can come to the Kohen and give him 5 shekel worth of cholt. Give him 5 shekel. But give him a wonderful set of svarim for 5 shekel. You think of a lot of things that are not mukta. So why don't we do a Pidyon HaBen on Shabbos? So again, the Gemara doesn't say a word about it. The Rishonim had a tradition that we don't. Rishonim said that we don't do a Pidyon HaBen on Shabbos. We push off to the left of Shabbos. Why not? So there are different reasons that are given. Some say because it looks a little bit too much like buying and selling, you know, business transactions on Shabbos. Some say it looks like you're paying back your debts on Shabbos. It just doesn't look right. There's some technical issue with Shabbos. So our practice is not to Pidyon HaBen on Shabbos. So what do you do? So what the standard practice today is, you wait till after Shabbos. And there are different benogim. Some do it immediately after Shabbos is over. It's reasonable. And it's just, I'll wait till Sunday morning. Right? But nobody today does it on Shabbos. Comes to my shalom and says, wait, I got a great idea. Why should you wait till Sunday, which is really day 32, which is really a day too late? Why don't you do it on Friday? Friday, it's too early. Friday's only day 30. No, says the Mashal. Make a nice, you know, get together with the Kohen on Friday morning. Take out 5 shekel. Hand it to the Kohen and say, listen, I'm giving you the money now. That this money, the Pidyon HaBen, should take effect tomorrow. When this man comes on Shabbos, put the money away. Don't use the money to buy challahs and wine for Shabbos. I want to make sure you have the money. We don't want to get involved in the chaykes Rabbi Shmuel. So have the Pidyon HaBen take effect, should take hold tomorrow. Put the money in your drawer, and when Shabbos comes, so we'll all wish each other mazel tov. The Pidyon HaBen will take effect. So state in the Gemara, the kuliyam will apply. That's okay. If lo nisachwa mos, what's wrong with that? So says the Mashal, why should you wait until Sunday to do the Pidyon HaBen, which is a short day late? Do it this way. The Pidyon HaBen will be chal right in time. That's the suggestion of the Mashal. So in case no one has ever been to such a Pidyon HaBen, there's a reason for that, because we don't do that. Why don't we do that? So the Chumash HaDeshen has an interesting suggestion. So HaDeshen was a very, very late end of the period of the Rishonim, right before the Shulchan Aruch. He was a rav in Germany, and he wrote phenomenal shas and tshuvas. The reason why is because he made up the shilas. He says I'm sure he got some interesting shas also, but if he had different shilas he wanted to say, so he made plenty. He had the shas of the week. We have a shas we can ask, but I try to make the real shas. I try to call the tshuvas edition. He had a good shas, very good shilas tshuvas. I made up a shas of the week. So he discusses as to why the minhag yisrael is not this way. Why don't we do it tomorrow? In fact, what the Mashal suggested. Tshuvas Edeshin says, in terms of pure lomdus and halacha b'yaveh, the Mashal's suggestion is correct. But it says in Tshuvas Edeshin, we can't do it for two reasons. One is the issue that Henry raised, and another is the second, the technical issue. One is, says the Tshuvas Edeshin, when are you going to make a bracha? Just tell me exactly when the bracha is going to be made. The Gemara says, at the end of Pesach, we have to make a bracha shirkit. When are you going to make that bracha? You're going to make the bracha on Friday, when you give the money to the Kohen. The mitzvah is not for another 24 hours. You're going to make the bracha on Shabbos when you're sitting and eating your chones, and you make a bracha al pidyavem. You only make a pidyavem, you do a maisa mitzvah. It's not maisa mitzvah. So says the Tshuvas Edeshin, you're over too. You can't make the bracha before, you can't make the bracha now, so you're not going to have a bracha. It's not nice, not right. Number two says the Tshuvas Edeshin, well, you can have a suda. There's a halacha, you're supposed to have a suda mitzvah for a pidyavem. It says in the Sfar HaKadoshim, that eating at a pidyon ben is a skula like 84 tinios. You get the same kaparas avodas like you fasted 84 days. I see pedala pidyon. Again, this is beyond the scope of my understanding right now. Several years ago, I had a pidyon ben where the day of the pidyon ben was supposed to be actually Yom Kippur. So amenities push off to the next day. So I went to pidyon ben the day after Yom Kippur. So I came over to my wife. But I just knocked off 86 tinyos. Maybe they actually took come from almost. The Gemara says if you eat an Erev Yom Kippur, it's keeping you fasted. I said Yom Kippur itself is a real fast. 84, I can have a party on Sukkot, so you can't stop me from eating the next piece of cake. I lost so much weight over Sukkot. Over Yom Kippur. So.
Can you say something else?
Can you bend
this like doing a
Kippur
Shmini transaction, a business transaction? And that's that in itself is
us on child. Oh, well, we get to the truth today. We'll get to that in a second. So Tshuvas Edeshin says that I can have a suda. We can have a suda on Friday. What are you celebrating on Friday? Giving cash to a Kohen? It's not the mitzvah yet. What are you going to celebrate on Shabbos? Suda's mitzvahs accompany a maisa mitzvah. You don't sit around and, Hini Mucham is going to do a mitzvah, Sheva Tas, and then let's celebrate. So mitzvahs require a celebration. They didn't do anything actively, there's no celebration. So the Tshuvas Edeshin says, you're 0 for 2 in the Suda. So because of these almost like technical issues that you're going to lose the bracha, you're going to lose the Suda, therefore forget the Pidyon HaBen, just do it on Sunday. But the Ikaron, fundamentally, Mashal's right. Fundamentally, his eights in terms of pure halacha really made a lot of sense based on everything that we're saying now. So now it starts to get tricky. The Henry's point is Rabbi Kivager picks up in this discussion in the postgame about doing this wild Pidyon HaBen on Friday, Shabbat on Shabbos, and it's really a good idea, it's just we can't do it, and the brachas consider this. Says Rabbi Kivager, how come nobody raised the red flag on the suggestion and said, wait a second, you're going to give Pidyon HaBen money on Friday so that it should take effect on Shabbos? You're basically doing business on Shabbos. You set up the situation before Shabbos so that a transaction should happen on Shabbos. Isn't that called doing business on Shabbos? Says Rabbi Kivager, what do you see? So the fact that nobody said that, neither the Mashal, but the Tshuvas Edeshin, nobody raised that red flag. You see, that's not called business on Shabbos. Business on Shabbos means when a person goes to the store and buys something, a person sells, a person rents, a person takes that chobos. When things really change hands on Shabbos, and that's the issue of business on Shabbos. The fact that in the world of mysterious halacha, chalosim are taking place and changes in ownership are occurring in different spheres, different realms, but not lamaisa between human hands. So you can make it. That's not the issue. That's not called. That's nothing to do with Mechem Emker and Shabbos. That's what Kivager is a raya from this discussion of the earlier process. But the problem is that Tzorach Mitzvah is not a matter of Mechem Emker. Tzorach Mitzvah is a matter of giving Matanos on Shabbos. And for Lulav, for Matzah, things like that. So Yerucham Shulchan explains, because Matanos are not really Mechem Emker anyway. They were just upset, an extension, a chumra, not to give Matanos, so they lifted that chumra from Mechem Mitzvah. The things that are real business dealings, so those things are, I can't keep my swarm store open on Shabbos. New cooler. I keep my swarm store open on Shabbos. No. Everyone's coming to buy swarm. A guy wants to buy safe.
That's not a breakfast. I need to buy a safe.
I'm selling Dalamin. I keep my store open and sell Dalamin.
Again, that's a preparatory for mitzvah. This is an actual fulfillment of the mitzvah.
No, but you're allowed to do mitzvah. It's called Mokom mitzvah to do Dalamin. You're allowed to do matanas, but mechiras are different. There is no heter mechira on Shabbos. But you know, I read the Maisa Eina Kachanisha, which is a very sticky matter on Shabbos.
Transaction happened on Friday.
So it didn't really happen. It doesn't occur really until Shabbos. The money changed hands on Friday, but nothing happened until Shabbos. So that
the mitzvah is the pidyon's on Shabbos, the transaction's on Friday.
Well, nothing happened on Friday. I gave you the money on Friday, nothing happened here. If I'd issue you the money back Friday, let's say I gave you the money on Friday morning, and then I realized Friday afternoon I'm a little short on cash, and listen, give me the money back, I'll come back tomorrow with more money tomorrow night. So I get the money back. I didn't give it, it wasn't calling it. The transaction didn't occur yet. So Kibega says, you see from the discussion of the Sadeshim and the Marshal and all the Yoga Post came, and nobody raised the flag about, wait a second, what happened to business on Shabbos? How do you see from here that business on Shabbos, that's not called doing business on Shabbos. So Moshe Feinstein quotes this from Kibega, and he says that he's not sure it's a good raya. You can argue with the raya of Kibega. What's the distinction from Moshe? We started off the sugya by saying, we're not even sure why we're not doing pidyon on Shabbos in the first place. Again, about Friday and Sunday. What's wrong with doing on Shabbos? It's not really business. You're not really buying anything. The baby doesn't belong to the Kohen. It's not really paying back chovas. The whole thing is a make-believe business. Rabbi says, I'm sorry, Minhag Yisrael, the Rishonim had such a tradition that we don't do pidyon on Shabbos. It's a derabbanan, minhag chumra, whatever. But wherever this came from, it's not mamish business. And therefore, Moshe says, the fact that we're willing to look the other way when you started on Friday and the car's on Shabbos, you can't extrapolate from there to real business. If you have a real business taking place, if there's actual transactions and buying and selling and business and property moving, switching ownership one to another, to just to be made because, well, it's good by Peter Ben, it's good by this also, which is not so simple, not so simple. So this was a major, major machlokes in the Bavli Post in Europe already back before the war. This started with the beginning of vending machines. I think vending machines started in the 20s or 30s. They weren't such advanced machines as today. So some of you may remember, remember the train? I remember as a kid on the train, you used to have these gum machines. I don't remember, remember them. On the subways, you put in a penny and you get yourself. I can't tell you whether the gum was kosher or not. I can't tell you if that was good, but I can't tell you if it was kosher. So that was like a big treat. You went in the subway, you put in a nickel and you get yourself, you get a piece of gum. So they used to have these sandwich machines, drink machines, ready in Europe, ready before the war. So the post came discussed, can a Jew own one of these machines? So even if you have it in a Goyish neighborhood, no Jews buying from you at Shabbos, but you're selling a sandwich to a non-Jew. So I'm selling a sandwich. I'm sitting in my house, eating my children, singing Yom Zeb Chubon, but I set up a system on Friday that a sandwich that I own is going to be transferred to the Goy on Shabbos. Is that okay? So many people were making one of the Goyim at the time, the Marshag, was making them. He said, yeah, that's not called business on Shabbos. That's just the selling. Things are happening on their own. As long as you're not picking up the item, you're not involved actively in the transaction. The fact that property is transferring, that's not your problem, Shabbos. You're not allowed to actively do it. It happens by itself. It makes that a system you set up for before Shabbos, that's fine. So now we have to fast forward a little bit. So the Bashal of the Tribusadesh, we're talking about Pidra Benz in these strange ways. Bashag was talking about sandwich machines in Europe in the 1920s. You can imagine, we get to 2020s, so it's a little bit more relevant to Lamaisa. Person sets up his whole business, his whole parnasa. He sets up systems on Friday or 10 years ago, and the businesses are coming and going. Things are buying and selling and property, switching on Shabbos, on Yom Tov, 24/7. Things are happening. Wait a second. Who says that's mutter? Is that called a violation of Mechichel Memker? So technically, money's going to your account, money's going out of your account, money is selling this item, you're buying that item. It's all happening as you're eating your children and singing Yom Tov Mechumen. Is that okay? So if you take the approach that whatever happens on its own is not my problem, so then everything's good. If you take the hesitation that we're not so sure that's true, it's a little pushwood, that would be a big, big problem. So usually when I say this is a multi-billion-dollar question, a little exaggerated, it's not exaggeration. This is a multi-billion-dollar question. So if you're machmer in this, then you can shut down a lot of websites, a lot of stuff at Shabbos comes down. If you make on this, then we can begin to discuss certain kinds of things that would be permissible.
Shut down on
Yeah, finish. Yeah.
You don't have a bank account.
What?
Are you earning interest on Shabbos?
That's the difference. If I'm not doing the loch, that's a Shabbos issue. That's what Moshe has, this famous kula, that since the interest accrues from 12 o'clock to 12 o'clock, accrues by the secular day, so it's always called Bahavla. So always part of it comes on.
Under,
that's what Moshe said. If you have a Shabbos Yantav or something, so Moshe has this famous line that Shulby says, when you close your account, you should give the few pennies back to the banks. It shouldn't be Neres L'Chashav. Go figure out this man is how to do that. And Moshe was talking about a little bank at Lower East Side, knocking the door. Oh, I just want to return the $20 for the last 50 years. Like, go, you spend the rest of your life trying to give back a nickel to a bank somewhere. Okay.
So, that means,
when the Mark said that it's a magical woman, that's right. It wouldn't be a way to make a bracha on that one, right? Unless you argue that the Kiddush may be a bit of a Shabbat, maybe you can make an effort. That's another whole other story. Okay, we'll stop for now.
Yeah.
Maybe start tomorrow.
What happens with Bidin Abed Emanzan's song?